Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you had a way for us. You were proclaiming that way so many years ago. Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy towards us. And even today, Lord, as we stand here as brothers and sisters gathered together under your name, we thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that you would anoint me to preach your word, God, and that people would have ears to hear all that you have to say. Lord, would you cause this time to bring great glory to your name? And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. We are continuing in the book of Genesis. And if you remember last week, we were talking about Abram and what God was asking Abram to do. He says in chapter 12, verse 1, there's a command, and it's to go. He was to leave his country, leave his hometown, the area he was born in. You know, leave that area. Leave your relatives, all your kin. Leave them, say goodbye. And now remember, again, we have to go back 4,000 years. We think, oh, okay. But they couldn't Skype. They couldn't even make a phone call. So when you said goodbye probably meaning, I may never see you again. So God was calling him to leave his relatives. God was causing him also to leave his father's household. And we had talked about that. It doesn't mean that he was like 70 years old living with his dad. The father's household was a representation of his economic security and his inheritance. He's saying, so I want you to leave the area, your family, your friends, your family, and all your economic security. I want you to leave it all. And he asked him to do that without any visible certainty of the future. Abram, do you trust me? Go. Leave it all. Walk away from it. Probably never to return. You may never see these people, this place again. Leave. And you go, man, that's a lot for God to ask, isn't it? We look at that and we go, that is a heavy call. We talked about last week that call to Abraham was the same call that he makes to us as people, as believers. That we would deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. So now we're looking at it and we realize this. God called Abram to give up a lot, but we need to understand that when God calls a person, he always gives far more than he requires. That's what we're going to see. Take a look at God's word. Genesis 12, as we read. Now the Lord said to Abram, go. That was the first command in this section of Scripture. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And then in Mark, this is Jesus. What we like to do is take a look at what God lays out in the Old Testament and see the parallels in the New Testament. So God is saying, go and I'll give you these things. And then look at what Jesus says. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. Wait a minute. I was good with signing up for this plan up until then. I don't like this persecution stuff. Jesus said, guess what? It comes as a package deal. With persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. This word bless, and I will bless you, the base word for that, from chapters 1 to chapters 11, all of those 11 chapters, that word is used 5 times. In these 3 verses, it's used 5 times. This is an interesting emphasis. What does that mean, bless? That God would intervene to do good things, both temporally and spiritually. And I say good things from God's perspective. Because as he puts in here, persecuted, we don't want to sign up for that, but that can be a good thing from God's perspective. So what happened? God makes a personal promise to Abram. I am going to bless you. That's what he says. I will bless you. I'm going to work on your behalf for good things, temporally and spiritually. I'm going to do that, Abram. And what happened is, God fulfilling that personal promise to Abram, what happened was, it also produced as a result national and universal promises. What happened here is that God said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to give you a land. There was a specific piece of property, piece of land that God was going to give him. Very clear. I'm going to bless you. Leave, go to a land I will show you. I'm going to bless you. And he's going to give him some land. Now, this section of Scripture, Genesis 12, 1 through 3, is general. And we see it becoming more and more specific. As a matter of fact, later in this chapter, God is becoming more specific on where that land is. But there's a physical place, land, that God was going to give him. That was part of the blessing. We know that land is Israel today. That God was going to give him a land. He was going to become a nation. Do you realize how hard that would have been for Abraham to believe? Here's a guy, he's living away in a family, and God says, go to a land I will show you. I'm going to give you a nation. I'm going to make a nation out of you. But here's the problem. In order to make a nation out of him, you had to have descendants. And Abraham is looking at this saying, okay, God, there's one problem. I'm old and my wife can't have kids. How are you going to do this? How are you going to make this happen? See, from his eyes, from his perspective, you can't do that. It's not going to work. Because it doesn't make sense. But God made a promise. He said, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to give you a land, and I'm going to make you a great nation. It required incredible faith. And what God was going to do in and through Abraham was going to cause his name to be remembered for a long time. God was going to do this miracle. He was going to bless Abram. He was going to give him a land. He was going to make him a nation. And then he was going to work these things in and through Abraham. So much so that Abraham's name would be long remembered. Take a look at God's word. Genesis chapter 12. And I will make of you a great nation. How can that be? And I will bless you. I'm going to bless you. And make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Doesn't this sound familiar? Didn't we just a couple of weeks ago talk about a group of people that wanted to have a great name? See, God's word isn't random. God's word is intricate, woven together by the living God. And so we have this story now where God is going to give him a great name. And just a couple of weeks ago in the previous chapter, we have a group of people that are going and gathering together in Babel. And they wanted to have a great name. They wanted to be remembered. But you see, they wanted to do it in a way that made sense to them rather than obey God. They said, we want security. We want our name to always be remembered. And so what we're going to do is we're going to do what the exact opposite of what God told us. He told us to spread out. But we're going to do the opposite. We're going to gather together. We're going to stay together. And what we're going to do is we're going to Build this city, this monument to ourselves. That's where our security will be. Our safety, our future is in gathering together, having a group of people around us who get it, like us. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to do it like that instead of what God wants. And we're going to make ourselves a great name so people will always remember us. And that was Babel, chapter 11. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. Wow. What Babel labored for and never achieved, God gave freely to Abram. I'll give it to you, Abram. I'm going to give you a great name, which means a good reputation and a secure identity. I'm going to do that. Look at this. How did that work out? How did that work out? Abraham is now, 4,000 years later, people know who he was. Can you imagine that? I mean, you think in Abraham's wildest dreams he would have imagined that? 4,000 years ago, people are going to know who you were. Abraham is considered the father of the Jewish faith and the Christian faith. He's the father. Take a look. Jesus. And these are the Pharisees speaking to Jesus around 2,000 years later. They answered him, Abraham is our father. He's the father of what? The Jewish faith. The Jewish nation. Abraham is our father. 2,000 years later. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing what Abraham did. And look, we jump down to 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. What is that all about? Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. Because there's a promise hidden in what we just read that talks about someone coming. And Abraham believed that promise by faith, by God's grace. He believed that. And so when we see here, Abraham saw my day. He didn't see Jesus, but God made a promise to Abraham. And Abraham believed that promise. So Abraham saw that day with eyes of faith. He saw my day and he rejoiced. He saw it and was glad. And then we go into Galatians. Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. So that means today that if you are a Christian, a believer in Christ, now let me define that, because sometimes people put that label on anybody who has a religious belief and thinks Jesus was a pretty good guy sometimes. It doesn't mean that you believe that God is looking at your good works and your bad works, and if your good works outweigh your bad, you get to go to heaven. What it means to be in the family is that you realize that you can't do anything to be made right with God. That you have sinned and you're separated from God, and there's nothing you can do to bridge that gap. So what God in his kindness and his mercy and his grace and his love did was that he sent his son Jesus, fully God, fully man, came and lived a life we couldn't live, a perfect life without sin, died on the cross, received the wrath of God for our sin, and then rose 3 days later as God's stamp of approval saying, I accept what Jesus did. And you have received that gift of salvation, then if that's the case and you're a believer, then that means that you are sons of Abraham in a sense. That's what he's defining here. Then those of faith, it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. What does this mean? It means that God made a promise to Abraham that your name will be great, and he is the father of the Jewish faith, the Christian faith, because of what God was doing, beginning even right here as we read. You know what's incredible too is that when you read the New Testament, okay, who is the person that is referred to when God is giving us an example of someone who walks by faith? It's not a New Testament guy. It's Abraham. Abraham. There were a lot of guys that walked by faith, but God chose Abraham. 75 times Abraham is referred to in the New Testament. You see how God honored his word so far beyond what Abraham could have ever imagined. You know, oh, you know, I'm going to give you a great name. Oh, yeah, people will know who I am. No, no. Abraham, it's much bigger than that. Much bigger than just people knowing who you are. You know what happens? We're so conditioned when we read that word, and I will bless you, we always default to stuff. Stuff. You know, God's going to bless you. You know, oh, great. That means I'm going to get a nicer house to live in. I'm going to get a new car. Some of us, a blessing is just a car that runs. And so when we hear that, we default towards stuff. And in one sense, we see that here. God says, I'm going to bless you. And God gave Abram stuff. Gave him land. He gave him descendants. And what happens is we kind of think that that's what it's all about. And we determine whether God is happy with us or we're being blessed by the things we have. But the greatest blessing that is hidden in here is not the stuff, what we have, but rather the greatest blessing that is hidden in these verses is not what, but who Abraham would have. That's the blessing that's hidden in here. That's the focus. The greatest promise that Abraham personally needed. Abraham was a sinner in need of salvation. He needed someone to pay for his sins. And the greatest promise that he received was also the greatest promise that everyone who ever lived needed. You know, brothers and sisters, as we go through this book of Genesis, I want to show you where Christ is throughout this whole book. But I also hope that you see where you are. And you see yourself here in Genesis chapter 12. What happens is this. The greatest blessing for Abraham personally and for the world was this. That through a descendant of Abraham, redemption would come to all nations. The whole world would be blessed. Take a look at God's word. That was the promise that someone would come. Someone would come to make a way to God. And that someone, that promise that was fulfilled, was Jesus. He was the true seed. Take a look. The book of genealogy of Jesus Christ. Where did he come from? Why are we doing this? Why does this say this here? Jesus Christ, the son of David, who was who? What? The son of Abraham. In other words, God is showing us in the New Testament 2,000 years later. Remember, I made a promise back in Genesis chapter 12, and here's the fulfillment. Here's the descendant I was talking about way back then. His name is Jesus. And then it goes on. If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring. Heirs according to the what? Promise. What promise? Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 3, where God said, you're going to strike his heel and he's going to crush your head. You see, that's the promise. And God is awesome when we look at his word and we realize that his word is, it's living, the living word, the words of our God. It's not random, as I said. It's intricate. And here we see just a word slid in there that we read past and we forget to connect the dots. This promise, according to the promise. What promise? Way back there, 2,000 years before. And in Romans, that is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Take a look at this next one, Romans. But it is not as though the word of God has failed. For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. What? And not all are children of Abraham. He's talking about Israel. He's saying, guess what? Not everybody who's a Jew is an offspring of Abraham. Because they are his offspring. But through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh. It is not your nationality. It is not because you're a Jew that you're made right with God. That's why he's saying not all of Israel is Israel. Because some people were going to reject the gospel, reject Jesus, even though they were Jews. So not all Israel is Israel. But the children of the promise are counted as offspring for those who would receive the Messiah by faith, would become offspring, would become part of the family. That's what he was saying. He was saying that this messianic promise, that there would be coming someone who would be blessed. Abraham, through you, all the nations will be blessed. He's saying someone's coming. Someone's coming. And they will bring salvation to the world. Here's a wrong teaching on this. We read that all the nations will be blessed. And so then we default and we say, okay, that means everybody's saved. No. Everybody's going to heaven. No. It's not it at all. We have to take the whole Word of God together. See, that's where people make a mistake. They read something, one line, and then they'll just say, oh, that must mean this. And they got to take the whole Word of God. Because when you read the whole Word of God, you see that there is light and dark. There's heaven and hell. There's goats and sheep. And so what we see is that not everybody is going to heaven. So that can't mean that. What it means is that the gospel would go forth. And as it goes forth, people of all nations, every tribe, every tongue, would hear the gospel, and people would respond to that by God drawing them. People would respond to the gospel so that Jesus would be a blessing to all the nations, to all the world. The gospel would go forth. That's what it's talking about here. Saying, you know what? This, and through you, Abraham, I'm going to bless the whole world. This gospel is going to go forth. Jesus is going to die. And for all who would, by God's grace, through faith, embrace and receive the gift of salvation through what Christ did, it's going to bless the nations. Wow. Wow. That's the promise that God made to Abraham. Now remember, where was Abraham when God made this promise? He was living with his father, who was an idolater. He wasn't raised in a Christian home. So since he was a little pup, he heard all about this great God. He didn't hear about this God. But God, in his grace and his mercy, just picked Abram and said, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless you in a way you can't even imagine. And we look at it and we go, oh, he called him to do all this hard stuff? And God said, trust me. Do you realize that Abraham died before he saw any of this? That's why it says, as we read, Abraham believed, but he hadn't seen. When Abraham died, God had told him, this is going to be the land I'm giving you. He didn't possess it as a nation at that time. The nation of Israel wasn't a great nation at that time. He had a couple kids, and his kids had kids. By the time he died, they weren't a great nation, not seen in the world. His name wasn't great in the sense that it was going to be. It wasn't there yet. God made him promises. But it wasn't there yet. That's the exact same thing that we're remember last week I said God called Abraham to leave the world behind? And I said the parallel for us is that God says to us that we were to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily and follow him. And that's the call that God had for Abraham. Leave it all behind. Pick up your cross and follow me daily. Deny yourself. So now we have another part of that promise that God made to Abraham that we can see ourselves in. Is that God said, I'm going to bless you. And that means temporally and spiritually. And he says, I am going to give you a land. What has God promised us? A new home. He promises that. He said, I'm going to give you a land. He says to Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. What does God's word say about us as believers? He says, you know what? I'm going to make you a great nation. There's a ripple effect. He says, I'm going to give you a new nationality. You're going to be the body of Christ. You're not from this, you're not from that. You're not from Luxembourg on the other side of the state of Wisconsin. You're not a Wisconsinite. You're not even an American. Dan, your primary nationality is this. You're a Christian. And because you're a Christian, your name is great because of who you are, Jesus. And he says, I'm going to give you a new land. I'm going to give you a new nation. I'm going to make you part of a great nation. I'm going to give you a new name. I'm going to give you a secure future. That's a promise, because remember, part of what Abraham left was that secure future, that hope. And God makes a promise to us through Christ. I'm going to give you an eternally secure future. Do you possess those things? I mean, we possess them by faith. They're ours. But we have yet to be in heaven to see the face of our Savior Jesus. We have yet. But the promises that God made to us, and they line up with what God promised Abraham. He said, I will do this. There's this incredible Savior. And remember, my focus, as I said earlier, was that we get so caught up in this stuff. We're going, yay, heaven, woohoo, yeah. No more pain, no more tears, no more, whoa, sign me up. I like that stuff. And I get it, maybe a new house, you know, no. I'm sick and tired of living where I live. I want a mansion, man. Maybe next to, you know, you got it all figured out and you're thinking of your stuff. But the greatest promise that God made Abram was not the stuff, but the who. And brothers and sisters, to pine for eternal life for the stuff is missing it. But brothers and sisters, someday we will be in the presence of Jesus in a way that we have not experienced yet. And it'll be He who is the treasure. It'll be Him. And we will stand in awe of this King, our God, our Savior, the lover of our souls, who plucked us out of the garbage heap and loved us when we were not lovable because of who He is. His unconditional love. And we can't throw that back. We can't lose it. It's ours because of what Christ did. What a Savior. What a Savior. What a King. What a God. And he was reflecting those things way back in Genesis 3. Take a look. I missed a verse, didn't I? Do we have Hebrews 11? There we go. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars in heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised. He didn't see it. Abraham didn't see it. But having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called God, for he has prepared them a city. See, that's what it's about. And you know what's so exciting about the Word of God? We find Christ in it from beginning to end. And you know what? If we really look close, we can find ourselves there. Because in Genesis chapter 12, that's 4,000 years ago, God made a promise and all nations will be blessed through you, Abraham. He was talking about Jesus. Do you realize that was you he was talking about? He said, you know what, Dan? You're going to be blessed through Abraham because I'm going to send Jesus the Savior. And my name was there. And now, if you're a believer today, do you realize your name is also here in the future? God's got you in his book even in the future. Look at what it says in Revelations. After this I looked and behold a great multitude. If you're a believer, you're part of that. That's you. That's you. And behold, I saw Dan. And he was with a number that no one could number. Nobody could number it. It was so great. From every nation and from all the tribes and the peoples and the languages. By the way, a couple weeks ago I said, well, I'll speak one language in heaven. I don't know, but I don't think that's accurate. It's more like it's going to be Pentecost. We may speak different languages, but we'll all understand each other. Okay? So we're all speaking different languages, but we understand each other. And we're all speaking. And what are we doing? We're gathering together for house parties. No. The focus is on Christ. Look at this. We gather together from all tribes, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, worshiping. There you are. There you are if you're a believer today. Standing in the multitudes, worshiping Jesus. That's the great treasure. Not the stuff, but Jesus. And what's the ripple effect of that? This Savior who is coming. What's the ripple effect if we are blessed by God? You see, because that's where we slide in the second command in this section of Scripture. God calls us, he blesses us to do what? First of all, to glorify God. But he calls us to go. And when he blesses us, he commands us then to be a blessing. Be a blessing. That's the second command in this section of Scripture. These three verses, two commands, go and be a blessing. Take a look, God's Word, Genesis 12:2. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. Why? Why? So that. There's that command. So that you will be a blessing. So that you will be a blessing. It doesn't say, make your name great. I will make your name great. Now, you're optional. You have an option here. Try to be a blessing. So no, be a blessing. Commanded, be a blessing. That's the result. We respond to this blessing, this grace, this mercy God gives to us by being a blessing. That's the ripple effect. That's the response. That's what happens. Be a blessing. Take a look at the rest. A good person out of the good treasure in his heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks. You see, you're overwhelmed with who Jesus is. You're so in awe of him, so in love with him. You see his blessings, his grace, his mercy, and it causes what? There's this it comes forth. In 1 Peter, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. You were called. You were blessed. You were called. Abraham had a call. Go. And you were called, and then you were blessed. And so now be a blessing. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. See, what happens is this. God is saying, I'm going to pour out a blessing upon you you cannot contain. Okay? And your response to that is to be a blessing. Be a blessing. Go make it happen. It's a command. Now, we need to be a blessing in many ways. Remember last week I said, okay, God called us to go, and he told us to leave, as we said, that we would deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him. And we said, well, how are we supposed... Basically, what God was saying to Abraham was this. Be in the world, but not of it. Go. Here's what I want. And I said, you know, you're looking for a list of stuff. How can I be in the world and not of the world? And remember, I didn't give you a list. And the reason I didn't was because I'd miss what you need to do. And then you go, oh, what do you do? Oh, I'm good. So I said this. If you want to be in the world but not of the world, here's how you do it. Be like Jesus. Because he is so countercultural. He is so outside of what the world would have that if you want to be in the world but not of it, then desire to be like Jesus. And as I'm looking at this today and I'm saying, okay, how are we to be a blessing to the world? The short answer, the one that encompasses all, especially in the practical, is to be like Jesus. You know, do things that the world doesn't do. Be a blessing to those around you. What did Jesus say? He said, you know what? I didn't come here to be served. I came here to serve. So one of the ways that we can be a blessing is to serve others. Serve them. You know, we're okay with serving the people we kind of like or to serve the people that we think we might get something back from. And that's of the world. The world is real good at serving somebody that they think they can get something from. But Jesus says, you know what? Serve those who can't pay you back. Serve those who have nothing to give you. And by the way, as I'm going through these things, these commands, in order to be a blessing, you need to understand that this is true for us as individuals and as a body as a whole. So when we serve, we individually serve people, but as a body we need to serve. Serve the poor and the hungry, the needy. Serve the people that the world rejects. You know, in a couple of weeks, we're probably going to have some Christmas trees, and we're going to do some other things, you know, where you can buy gifts for people and give them to the poor. You won't even know who gets them. You know, are there ways that we can serve others, serve each other? You know, sometimes we just think serving means, okay, I'm going to serve the people in need. It means serving each other, putting others before ourselves, those types of things, because that's Christ-like, and that's a way that we can be a blessing to someone. Serve others. Here's something that is so outside of the box in today's world is this. You know, how many times do you hear encouraging words from someone? We're real good at finding people's faults, aren't we? Where they fail. When was the last time somebody came up to you and encouraged you and said, boy, I really appreciate this about you? I'll bet you many of us are struggling to even remember the last time that happened. Because it's so countercultural to the world. But if we would speak encouraging words, out of the abundance of the heart, our mouth will speak. That we would speak encouraging words to each other. It's sad that we even have to say that, isn't it? It's kind of like being an employee. Okay, those of you that have people underneath you, you know, here's the bar. Okay, here's the bar. Here's where they start at. Now, if you're from old school like me, this wasn't even in the discussion. This was assumed. You didn't even have to communicate. But here's the bar. You already made 50%. You know, you're 50% of the way there to keeping your job. Show up when you're scheduled to, on time, and work the entire time you're supposed to be there. That's the bar. And those of you that have to hire people, you know that's the bar, right? Go ahead and nod. Just show up and work. Really? We even have to say that? It's the same thing for us here today. You mean we really have to say that we should speak encouragement? That will be a blessing? It should be normal. It should be normal for believers to speak well of others, to find that good and encourage people. You can do it. I know you can. Maybe you haven't done it before, but you can do it. I know you can. I see this in you. And set words of encouragement. That's how you can be a blessing in one way. So by serving each other, serving other people, by speaking words of encouragement. But you know, the focus of this section of Scripture and this call to be a blessing, the main focus is spiritually. And so if that's true in this section in Genesis, then it also must be true for us. Yeah, that's good that we do good things and we serve each other and we speak. But the Word of God is also, more importantly, saying, be a blessing spiritually to people. What does that look like? Well, first of all, it's the idea that we're sharing the gospel. Because that's the blessing that God was talking about to Abraham. And through you, I will bless all the nations. And so if we're to be a blessing, then we need to communicate what that blessing for all the world is, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. To share the gospel. That's one of the greatest ways you can be a blessing in this world. And out of the abundance, remember I talked to you about that ripple effect? Well, that's the ripple effect. Out of the abundance of your heart, as you realize the incredible grace and love that God had for you, that He would grant you salvation, you would celebrate in that. And your mouth couldn't help but speak and share. Let me tell you about the good news. Let me tell you about what Jesus has done. And so that's part of being a blessing, is sharing the gospel. And one of our values is that we will strategically share the gospel with our local, regional, and global neighbors. Brothers and sisters, if you can make it here this Saturday, make it here this Saturday for the missions conference. You know, we can't go all over the world, but we can send people. So preach the gospel here and send people there. And you will be a blessing. You will be fulfilling this command in the Word of God in your life. That's what it says. Another way is to disciple people to the maturity in their faith. Sit down with your children, with others, and say, how are you doing? Let's talk. Hold each other accountable. Share the Word of God. And again, do it individually but corporately. And finally, the other way that you can be a spiritual blessing is this. Pray for others. You know, the older I'm getting, the more I realize I can't change people. I work really hard at doing this and doing that, and the more I realize it, as I get older in life, I'm finding I got to get on my knees more. Because I know that God's got to change people's hearts. And when He does, we stand back in awe of who God is. So brothers and sisters, if you want to be a blessing, pray. Pray for the lost. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. You can be a blessing that way. You can fulfill the command in God's Word to be a blessing as you do those things. Not because you're going to earn some kind of favor from God. You already have all His favor. You can't get any more of it. And you can't pay Him back. The debt was too big. So just relax and enjoy the grace of God. And allow the prayer for others to be that ripple effect of Christ in your life. As you were blessed, you become a blessing. That's what God desires. Brothers and sisters, that as I said, we are all called to be a blessing. Every believer. Every believer. And we're to do that individually and corporately. So let's do it. Let's be a blessing by God's grace and God's mercy, being led by the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Jesus, we are in awe of You. We stand in awe of how You were so faithful to Abraham, even though he didn't see it. And we know You are faithful to us. Lord, thank You. Thank You that You will fulfill all Your promises. Because of who You are. And God, my prayer is this, that as we really get our heads around this, that we would break forth in worship to you because of that. Lord, cause our hearts to delight in you and cause that delight to break forth in blessing others around us so that your name would be made much of. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.